I would like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. I would like to ask the question that our sister, answer the question that our sister asked when she was praying, saying, "Can't you see, brothers and sisters, we're redeemed?" Yeah, I've been seeing this for about 30 years. Praise God. To be able to stand in the fullness of this uttermost redemption. Completely redeemed.
Amen.
From all sin.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing to stand in this great and glorious position. And Matthew 13 is the chapter that I've chosen since our sister read that section. And you will know the story very, very well. 44. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Praise God. There are many of you who will understand from, and if you examine your Bible very closely, I hope the section was clear. Matthew 13, you read it with me, didn't you? And you're not all looking amazed as where I've read that from. But you will, some of you at least, will know oftentimes when we've been together upon occasions like this, I have mentioned the great difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Now I know that currently, in one paper, there are articles going on which say that there is no difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And that is not true. I don't wish to contend with the writer, but seeing that most of you, I should think, probably read that magazine, I want to say that there is a difference. And the difference is in those two parables. You see, the kingdom of God is something which lies within the context of the kingdom of heaven. And once you see that the kingdom of heaven is a large, large sphere covering all the universe, all the world. And in the kingdom of heaven, there are both good and bad. As you will see if you read the next parable, that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the just, to cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things the Lord said? Verse 51. They said, yes. And so on. I'd like to ask you the question. Hold your heads up. You understood all these things? Now you've received the Holy Ghost. Remember, these people hadn't got the Holy Ghost then. They said yes. You understood all these things? Since the Holy Ghost has come to be your teacher, infallible teacher, praise God, not a professor at whose feet we sit, or a tutor whose lectures we go and listen to, or even a schoolmarm that shows us how to draw in the sand at the beginning. But he has come to be our teacher. Have you understood this then? That in the kingdom of heaven, there are good and bad. The bad can receive the authoritative actions and words of the King of Heaven and can be blessed, healed, delivered, but never be changed into good. And so they're cast out at the end, even though they've come under blessings, heavenly blessings. You see, in the final great reckoning. But those that are in the kingdom of God, now that's a different matter. But John says, you've got to be born again to get in the kingdom of God. That's different. That's a tremendously different thing. Within the context, then, of God's heavenly kingdom and blessing, there is that which is real God. God's self. God essential. The God life. And it's brought out in the two parables that refer us, as I said, rarely, or, if you like, concerning which the whole truth, shall I say, of it leapt into my heart when our sister read that precious section from Malachi, that last book of the Old Testament. It was a wonderful time that was coming on, really. You know that between Malachi and Matthew, there are 400 years of silence in which apocryphal books were written, mythical, no doubt so many of them, like Hermas the Shepherd and the writings of this one and that one and Maccabees and this. They're apocryphal. No doubt lots of the things in them are true, but they're not God-inspired. And so Malachi was saying that there's going to be a great time when they that love the Lord get together and talk, they have a common topic of conversation. The Lord listens, he always comes, and he hearkens, he hears, he keeps the book, and there are his jewels. He said, they're going to be mine when I make up my jewels. There in this great company, beloved, by verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now you will know that in Old English that word field really comes from the Old English felled, in that the country was all forest at one period and people went out and felled the trees and made a clearing, and so it was a felled, and in it they sowed their potatoes, their original cabbages and carrots and I don't know what, or grass, let it come to grass and graze their cattle and so on. And all fields were originally felled, a felled place. And so after the great tree has been felled, that is, after Calvary, amen, the world is a field, and in this great field there's a treasure. And you see what this verse 44 says. It's a true kingdom of heaven in its broadest sense, that God goes and buys the whole of the field. The Lord Jesus bought the world. Hallelujah. For the treasure that's in the world. He bought good and bad. Amen. He bought the right to operate princely and in a princely manner, this King of grace, and for the treasure hid in the field. You see? He had to take the bad and the good. God loved the world. Amen. He does love the world, beloved. And he bought the world. Amen. And it says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. You see, this will cut out all the narrow Calvinistic ideas. Reconciling the world unto not imputing their trespasses unto them. God does not reckon sins unto people. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He doesn't reckon their trespasses unto them. That's what your Bible says. A tremendous thing for you to understand. God was in Christ, not reckoning trespasses unto people. That's why you should never go around reckoning trespasses to people. If the world wants to run a police system and hold people up for their trespasses and promote judges and sling them into prisons, that's up to the world. That's the worldly system. But we don't, God doesn't impute trespasses to people. Say what, not if they come and smash your doors down and take all your money. Well, they'd have a bit of a job, but still, there it is. I mean, to take my money. Would you let them get away with it? Oh, yes, of course. It's not my business to clap them in prison. They can have it as a gift. You see, there's the tremendous thing in the world. God has bought the world for the treasure hidden in it. And no doubt this has to, to a great extent, to do with Israel that's got hidden and buried in the world. All over the world. Has a great, large effect. But when you come to the next parable, and you're talking about the jewels that our sister read about, he's talking about a man seeking a peculiar kind of jewel. For you will know that of all the jewels, the pearl is the one that's different from everything else. Mm-hmm. It comes out of the sea. Mm-hmm. Doesn't come out of the earth like diamonds. Isn't like treasure, gold or silver mined out of the veins or mines of the earth. It comes out of the sea. Mm-hmm. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Lord was seeking the pearl. Now, you see, not the world. He didn't buy the world. He just went and bought the pearl. Got this? In this parable. Now, this is the kingdom of God parable within the kingdom of heaven context. You got it? Can you see it? Clearly, just seeking goodly pearls now. And then he finds one pearl of great price. Hallelujah. It's the church. You see? It's the church. And do you know this is one of the wonders of it all, beloved? There's a great text that you will know about in the Old Testament which says this, that God delights in mercy, he says, and he casts all the sins into the depths of the sea. And in the place where he casts the sins, he goes down and finds a pearl. Yeah. He turns sow's ears into silk purses, to use the old phrase. Yes, that's what he does. It's sin cast into the sea. He goes down and he finds a pearl. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And he finds this one great pearl, great price. Anybody got any idea? Anybody like to price the pearl? Anybody like to value the pearl? Priceless. Priceless. Only God could afford the Son. Only God could afford to pay the price. Amen. No one else could. Nobody else could have had this pearl. That's why it was for sale. You see. All the millionaires in the world couldn't buy this pearl. And Jesus had to go and sell all that he had. That's why when he met a rich man, see, who could go around and buy pearls, because he was very rich, he said, oh, and look, he said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. Come and take up the cross and follow me. You're really learning what a rich man's like now. You see. You can't buy this pearl. He went away very sad, for he was very rich, he had great possessions. Jesus, phew, I sold all that I had. Amen. Sold all that I had. You see? Everything's gone. And he let everything go. Wesley said that he emptied himself of all but love and died for our helpless and apostate race. This is absolutely true. And he came, beloved, and he paid the price for pearl. Amen. You know, of course, where pearls come from. They come out of the suffering and agony of an oyster. That's right. And you know that the oyster's got to be opened up before you can get the pearl. It's shut up so close, so tight, buried so deep, nobody knows its agony. The pearl is the result of an oyster saving itself pain. And it gets larger and larger and larger as it secretes its own inward juices round the thing that's hurting it, and turns the pain into joy for someone, into pleasure and comfort for someone. This is what a pearl does. This is what an oyster does. Praise God. And the Lord saw us, beloved. We caused him pain. Oh, God had to be opened right up for us to come forth. God had to go right down to the depths of all sin. Right down into the very vast ocean of it all. And saves. And when God makes up his jewels, there's the pearl. There's the pearl. Now then, beloved, what a wonderful truth this is. Nothing wrong with a pearl, you see. There's no bad about the pearl. It's the only one in the kingdom of God. Everything else, gone. You're not surprised, are you, that the way into New Jerusalem is through the pearly gate? Every several gate was of one pearl. Hallelujah. What a glorious picture the Lord brings before our eyes, beloved. Out of all the precious stones of earth, this glorious thing comes. It's right in line with that which the Lord was saying to us a little earlier, surely, isn't it? The Lord, he views us, beloved, with this great love and affection. Oh, that our hearts could understand this. Oh, that our hearts would believe it. For first of all, beloved, you've got to believe what you don't understand. And that's the thing that defeats so many people. They really worship their intellectual understanding of a thing instead of letting it all go and believing God. Jesus must be trusted. He won't have you on any other ground but that. If you persist and insist on anything else, you'll not be his. You can come into some kingdom of heaven benefits. You can come into them, but you won't be in this great kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is kingdom of all God and only God. Everything's God in the kingdom of God. We're Godded with God. We're pearl. We're the pearl of great price, because didn't God receive his own Son up from the depths of uttermost? Didn't God receive his own Son? Didn't Father take him up from these terrible depths of sin? He took on our sin and took on our position. And this is the joy, that if the Father could bring Jesus up when he voluntarily went into it, you know, he can certainly bring us who are involuntarily in it. We were born in it. We couldn't help ourselves. Jesus could help himself and went into it voluntarily. Wonderful. You know, and we're always wanting to reprimand people that go into things with their eyes open. We say, well, you did it with your eyes open. It serves you right. You see, that's the way we look at it when we're talking about justice. And the poor person that didn't know, we're always more lenient toward them. But Jesus went in with his eyes open. He went in and he came up from that terrible depth and death, beloved. And he's there with Father and beloved, our preciousness, our pearl-like quality is Jesus. It's him. We're made beautiful with his beauty. Oh, we're precious with his preciousness. Is that right? Well, we can check that. Peter says this, you know. We've got to get this in his epistle. We can see this very, very clearly. If we turn to the first epistle of Peter, we find in the first chapter, you see, here we are. We are strangers in verse 1, scattered all everywhere. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, chosen, elect, there you are, you see, according to the foreknowledge of God. He knew where to look for the pearl, all right. Praise God. We're not a lot of little pearls, by the way. We're all one pearl. Amen. I'm no more beautiful than you are. I'm not as beautiful as you are, probably. I mean, in inner moral character and quality. But in this greatness of being in Christ, we're just one pearl. One pearl. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Flawless, you see. I don't put a flaw in the pearl. Neither do you, if you're included. It's this great, wonderful pearl. We're scattered everywhere, you see. But you know that you were redeemed, verse 18, don't you, and 19, with the precious blood of Christ. There it is. Amen. And when you get to the second chapter, you read this in the first verse of the second chapter. You have to lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and evil speakings and envies and so on and so on and so on. You can't have anything to do with that. And you know that pearls have a glorious milky whiteness about them. So you're to desire the sincere milk in verse 2. You're to drink that. A very lustrous, milky quality about a pearl. Precious and wonderful. And when you get down through that second chapter, you find this, that in verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe. This is the Greek of it. He is the preciousness. What is this thing? What is preciousness? I mean, it's one of those sort of words you can't put your finger on. What do you mean when you talk about preciousness? It's that glorious quality. Isn't it? That's right. You can't put your finger and say it's this or it's that or the other, but it's all that goes up to make something precious, the preciousness of it all, to me. That's right. The preciousness is Jesus. That's right. And beloved, this is the wonder of it all, the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. Is your preciousness to God. Do you see that? Yeah. You're a believer, and your preciousness to God is this great, permeating, lovely, wonderful, intrinsic, moving Christ throughout all these qualities that make me a man or a woman, you see. The preciousness is him. The Lord Jesus Christ. Unto you which believe, he is the precious. Glory, that's wonderful, isn't it? All right, now then. The Lord Jesus He came to buy this pearl. Just one pearl. A great price. Of course, you see, he'd had to forgive people before this. He'd had to do all wonderful things for people before he ever hung on a cross. He'd constantly been meeting people's needs. He'd blessed here and there, and met me all over the place, all down through the ages. He's always been doing it. Praise God. But oh, beloved, you know, when he came down from heaven, he plunged right down into our conditions and down through our needs and went right down to hell for us. He did something gloriously new. And it's out of this great new thing that God did, out of this great new work, that we've been brought forth. It's this. And it's a glorious thing that we're here tonight, and we're communing one to another. And God makes up his jewels. Praise God. And amongst them all, there's the pearl. Set in all God's other jewels, using the figure of precious stones, there's the pearl. And we do know, don't we, beloved, that in a world of changing values, everything else changes values, but precious stones always get more precious. Their value always goes up. Right? The longer they are in existence, the more they're worth. That's right. That's why people with money today, if you've got a lot of money, I'll tell you what to do. Invest in precious stones if you want to be selfish and keep it. Invest in property, it can get burned down. A house can be worth £4,000 tonight. You hope it'll be worth £6,000 in 12 months' time. It might be worth £2,000, according to whether they devalue currency. A pound may be worth 20 shillings. It may be worth 10 shillings if they devaluate. But a pearl in 6 months' time will be more valuable than it is tonight. It doesn't matter whether they change currencies or not. This is the great thing about precious stones. They always increase in value. Always. Isn't this lovely?
Hallelujah.
To the heart of God, we are increasing in value. Is that right? You believe that? That's true. Not that he's got you for what he can make out of you. He's got you for what he can make you into. And it's a precious thing, beloved. So you must let the Lord deal with you. You're part of this wonderful pearly bride, this great treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, he's prepared to do anything and everything for you. That's right. Anything and everything he's prepared to do for you. What we have not discovered, beloved, properly, is the art of how to let him do it. That's what we've not discovered. Most of us haven't. The art of knowing how to let him do it. Right. And I tell you the art, really, you have to learn it. It's just being very simple and not knowing anything much. Praise God. You'd be surprised. I've known people get saved, they've not known anything, really. They haven't known this, that, or the other about karma. They've just believed. That's right. This is the art of it. You just believe. You just come to that glorious inward condition of being a child and just believing. Just believe in God. That's all you do. That's the top and bottom of it. Yeah. And the Lord will take you into a lot more than you know and understand. As a matter of fact, I tell you this, in the kingdom of God, you can only learn in retrospect, by looking back. Don't you try and look in and look forward, because you can't. You'll only make a fool of yourself. So could you gather all the books round you and reading all them up, thinking you're going to learn? You believe God. And then as you look back, that's how you learn. People are always trying to learn in advance, stupid people. Haven't got any clue. You mustn't try and learn in advance. The only advance you make in the kingdom of God is believing. That's the only advance you make. You believe the Lord, and after you've been in it, maybe six months, it may be 6 years. You say, "Oh, well." See? You see it as you look back. That's right. You only understand as you look back. See? That's why it's going to be wonderful when we do get to heaven. We're going to have such a lot to talk about as we look back. Yes. Well, well, well. Yes. You'll all come to me and you'll start pouring it all out to me. And say, yeah, that, 40 years ago that happened. If the Lord comes in about 40 years' time. Yeah. That's it, you see. You only know as you look back. And this gives a true foundation. And then you build correctly. If you start building on anything else, you're only building on theory. You see? And the Lord brought you out of tremendous depths, beloved. And He saved you. And it's as true that we're all in this great flawless pearl. Do you know you're in it? Glory. And you know, beloved, there's something glows wonderful and wonderfully in the heart of a pearl. Hold it up to the light and examine it. That wonderful translucent light in a pearl seems to hold a luster there, indescribable. And you know, beloved, right at the heart of the pearl, that Jesus has got to be there. He's got to be there. Is He? Is He? Glory. For it's all round Him that it's all done. A pearl grows by accretion. It's a wonderful thing. Another coating. It gets bigger. It gets bigger. It's bigger. It's bigger. I know in the great heart of God, it's already a finished thing. And that's why in the scripture, you look at it and you see the finished product. And oftentimes when we're together, this is the aspect we take. You often heard me say, you want to understand the Bible, you've got to understand the last two chapters. You've got to see what God's aiming at, the finished product, and then go back from there. And we always consider the finished product, what we have done upon many occasions. But there is a sense in which it's still growing. There's a sense in which it's still growing. God is adding and bringing in others, and the pearl, from our point of view, gets larger and larger and larger. That's true. And when the Lord adds, they're all as wonderful as they were in the beginning, so far as He's concerned. And the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to eliminate anything that's foreign or contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his work is. You see, on Sunday night, some of us were together at Pinhair, and I remember saying this on Sunday night. When the Bible says things and you receive commandments from God that you're not to sin, and God won't allow this and God won't allow that, and that's got to go and something else has got to go in the life, it's simply because that they weren't in the life of the Lord Jesus. It isn't because God went, you see, isn't that? It's the honour conferred upon you. Can't have that. Jesus, they're born in Jesus' life. You see, that's all it is. It's the elimination of the things that weren't in Jesus. It's wonderful to go through this great process of the Spirit of God. Do you see? Didn't know God gives you a code book to put in your pocket and check up by? It's just that the Holy Spirit, no, it wasn't in Jesus on the earth, so it can't be in you, can it? And we say, well, Lord, no, Lord, of course it can't. That's right, you see. And we agree with the Lord, and everything is rid of it from. We're rid of it. It's gone. The Holy Ghost removes it. And he pays great attention to this. He's going to have you flawless personally. Lord. Not just the great big pearl flawless, but you personally. Flawless. That's wonderful. I love that thought. Somebody came to me not so long ago, and where was I? Oh, I don't know. Doesn't matter anyway. The person said to me, do you realize, this person said, that to listen to you sometimes is very depressing? Oh, I said, is it? First time I'd ever been told that. So I said, well, why? That was the first time this young lady spoke to me. In about 3 days' time, she came and wanted to have a chat. And then she thought that it really wasn't so depressing after all. It was just the standard that was set, you see, and the reaction against it in the heart. But beloved, this is the standard, and I love it. Flawless. Praise God. There's no need for anybody to get depressed about it. Everybody ought to stand up and shout, Hallelujah. That's right, there's no need to get depressed about that. Because the Holy Ghost has come to help you. That's his chief name, Comforter, one called alongside to help. So that you don't get depressed, and you don't get upset about it. You simply welcome the Holy Ghost in your life and say, there, Lord, you can do what you like. Anything, everything. Take everything. I'm all yours. Cooperate with him. Don't start getting all het up. And don't start getting frustrated. Well, I couldn't be like that. Oh, you see, the fact of the matter is that the Holy Ghost isn't a liar. And when he shows you that, you've got to believe him. It's not the devil telling you. It's him. It's the Holy Ghost. He's coming to show you what the true position is. You see? And then he shows you the Lord Jesus, and you say, that's right. I love him. Then the Holy Ghost says, all right, well, now be like him. You see? He doesn't say, go on, have a good try. That's the last thing he says. He says, now let me remove the cause. Why you can't be like him in this. You see? And he takes it all away. Because we're going to be flawless. Beloved. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Like the Lord Jesus Christ. As we should be. Someone said to me not so long ago, I want to be perfectly frank with you, Mr. North. I haven't accepted your teaching that we can be like Jesus Christ on the earth. I said, well, I'm very sorry that you haven't. Because it isn't my teaching, it's the Holy Ghost's teaching. What the Bible says. And do with what I teach or whether I don't. Really, I'm only a mouthpiece. I only repeat what's in the book. I'm only a parrot, really. That's right. I just say what's in the book. that the better parrot you can be, the better preacher you get, as far as God's concerned. That's right. You just have to say what God says. Yeah. Perfect. And entire. Lacking nothing. How about that? Glory. We're going to be perfect. Flawless, beloved. You see? And when a person says, well, I couldn't be that. That's fine. That's fine. No, listen. Listen. I'll give you the Holy Ghost, says the Lord. That's right. Holy Ghost says, I can be like that. Of course he can. He's God in you, you see. I can be like that, says the Holy Ghost. And you see? And all you do is let the Holy Spirit have his way. Praise God. And just keep humble, beloved. Keep there. Let the Lord work his works in you. Praise God. You understand that Jesus wasn't out for making a rope of pearls. All the others had to go. He just wanted this one. See, not a string of pearls hang around his neck. Just one pearl. Praise God. And you know what he's going to do with this pearl, don't you? He's going to set it down there in the midst for everyone to see. Now, you mustn't start looking out into the net. She couldn't bear in the net, see? They're only in the heavenly blessing state of the kingdom. They're not in the God condition. You got that? You mustn't start comparing yourself with other fish in the net. Oh no, because they may be bad fish. Oh, you say they're in the net. Yeah, that's right. They may be in the net. But you don't want to worry about that. Because you see, you hear preachers talking about throwing out the gospel net. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Oh, you've got that to come if you haven't heard that. Throwing out the gospel net. You see, and they say, you know, let down your nets for a draught. See, and then they say, the fishermen were mending their net. Well, you can't mend the gospel net. Something's gone wrong. You can't mend the gospel net. And now how can you mend the gospel net? Doesn't ever break.
Amen.
Not the true gospel. Because men's gospels, they break up anyway. But you see, the true gospel... Praise God. Now then, beloved, in this great net of the kingdom of heaven, there are many fish caught, good and bad, you see. The good fish are all going to be kept, but the bad, they cast out. Well, are some going to be cast out in the end, precisely? But they're only in the kingdom of heaven, you see. They're resting in heavenly blessings. They're lovely. Taught to say your prayers, you see. Talk to ask the Lord to heal your cold and all that. Well, that's fine. You should teach your children to do that. That's fine. But they've got to come via that state into the kingdom of God. Amen. They've got to be solid good all the way through. Pray, don't start comparing yourself with other people in your church or in your company or in your set. Or group. Don't start comparing yourself. They may, after all, be bad fish. Now, don't go around thinking you've got the gift of discernment to discern who's the bad and who's the good. It's like they said, it's the same story. You get the tares in the field. You get them, and they said, he's so good seeing this field. And they woke up one morning and found there were tares. They said, who's done this? An enemy's done this. Lord, let's get rid of the tares, you see. That's what we want to do. Let's have revival. Get rid of the tares. You see? Let's have a clean up in the church. The church doesn't need cleaning up. Don't you realize? let it sink in.
Yeah.
Right. A pearl doesn't need cleaning up. Don't you see this?
Yeah.
Of course, hallelujah. Yeah. It shouts at you. You've got ears to hear it and eyes to see.
Amen.
Amen. The pearl's the pearl.
Yeah.
Glory. But at the end, the bad's going to be separated from the good, tares are going to be burned. We're in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven's like this, says Jesus. This is what the kingdom of heaven's like. You see. People got their heads in the clouds, heavenly blessings and heavenly pluckings of strings and choruses, banging the tambourine. You see? How about that pearl? She comes out of the agony of God. Hallelujah. The pearl comes out of the depths of it all. Hallelujah. That's where she comes from.
Amen. Praise God.
There's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So don't get your eye on other people in the same field or in the same net. You don't do that at all. All you do, beloved, is notice. Now, this is what you'll surely know if you belong to this pearl. You'll know that you're hopelessly in love with Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus. I mean, hopeless as far as the devil's concerned. You'll know that. You'll know. I mean, people may laugh at you and think you're crazy and all that sort of thing, and that don't make any difference, you see. You know that you love him. That's a certainty. Praise God. And there'll come a great sense in your heart. You may never have heard it put under this figure or spoken about quite like this, but the truth will be there. You'll know in your heart that you belong to Jesus. You'll know it inside, you see. It says, you know you've been redeemed with the precious blood. Don't say, I'm telling you, or the Bible says so. It says, you know. See? That's what it says. That's what the Bible does. It tells me what I know. That's right. What did you tell me for? Oh, well, in the mouth of two witnesses everything's agreed and established, you see. I know it. The Bible tells me. Amen. That's fine. It's all settled. I know. Absolutely know. You do, don't you? That's the work of the Spirit of God, beloved. You're there. You're the pearl. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Now, Jesus went and sold all that he had. You see? And that's what you've got to do. Just what you've got to do. Everything. This is another mark of the pearl. The true pearl. If you're in the true pearl, everything. Everything takes on a new value. Everything categorizes itself, falls into its true slot. Everything is seen for what it is. Praise God. Everything goes. Praise the Lord. If anything comes to you, it only passes through your hands. And the glory and reality of all life is to know that the Lord Jesus Christ and you yourself are one.
Amen.
It's all there. All right, beloved. I think I've finished what I have to say about that. I felt the Lord would have us consider it. know the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as we come together throughout this weekend. Let the Lord minister these deep, deep treasures of his heart to us, into us, that we can abide in the glory of this. And this I know, beloved. As surely as I know that the pearl is one solid whole, one solid whole, so I know that if we've been bought by this love and blood of the Lord Jesus, then my love and blood are for you, and your love and blood is to be for me too. You've got to lay down your life for me, and I've got to lay down my life for you, and I've got to love you, and you've got to love me. That's it. We're all in this one solid pearl, you see.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. This is a marvelous, marvelous truth. Not so long ago, somebody said to me, we were walking along a street in London, and he said to me, "Brother, I've got to know that you'll die for me." I said, "And you can know it, brother. And I've got to know that you'll die for me too." He said, "And you can know it, brother."
Glory to God.
That's right. Hallelujah. It's all death to self, you know. It's all death to self. Praise God. Don't die for yourself anymore. You die for other people. Jesus never died for himself, he died for others. Have you got to the place where you see you don't die for yourself anymore? Can't die for yourself. You have the privilege of dying to yourself. That's very, very beautiful. And then your life is all for others. Amen. Isn't it a marvelous thing? Love one another. Lord, we're in this great pearl. And I want the Lord to look upon me. I want him to look through us all and see us all as one.
Hallelujah.
Just like himself.
Lord.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.